In addition to the miracle of the Hashmonaim's victory over the powerful Greek army, Hanukkah is known to be the commemoration of the great miracle of the flask of oil, the Pach HaShemen, which the Maccabees lit in Beit HaMikdash, rekindling the lights that had been extinguished when the Greeks defiled the place holiest to the Jewish people. As it is related to us in Gemara Masechet Shabbat, source number one, כשנכנסו היוונים להיכל, טימאו כל השמנים שבהיכל, וכשגברה מלכות בית חשמונאי וניצחום, בדקו ולא מצאו אלא פח אחד של שמן, שהיה מונח בחותמו של כהן גדול, ולא היה בו אלא להדליק יום אחד. נעשה בו נס והדליקו ממנו שמונה ימים. When the Greeks came into the Beit HaMikdash, they defiled all of the oil that was there, and when the kingdom of the Hashmonaim, Hasmoneans came in and defeated them. They checked and could only find one flask of oil that was in the, with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. There was only enough for it to light one day. There was a miracle, and we were able to use it for 8 days. Interestingly, I read something in a book by Rav Nevensal, who says that the the Greeks didn't actually just touch the oil and thereby defile it, but they actually used the oil for purposes of idol worship, for Avodah Zarah, and that's why the oil was considered defiled. But this beautiful miracle happened. The Maccabees were able to rekindle the lights, and the candles of the Mikdash symbolize the presence of the Shekhinah. They symbolize the presence of Hashem in Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara in Shabbat elaborates extensively on the lighting of the menorah in the Mikdash, in general, as an everyday mitzvah in the time Beit HaMikdash existed. It relates a fascinating miracle which occurred daily in Beit HaMikdash. It's regarding the Ner Ma'aravi, the western candle of the menorah of Beit HaMikdash. I'm just taking a look here to see if there's any replica of the menorah. Interestingly, there isn't, but yes. Oh, so I should speak directly into the mic. Okay. Okay, maybe holding it in my hand is a better idea. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Ah, beautiful. So you can use that as a model on the parochet on the Aron Kodesh. You have a beautiful embroidery of the menorah of Beit HaMikdash. Anyway, the Gemara in Shabbat talks about how beautiful the menorah was in Beit HaMikdash, and how it was lit by the Kohen. And it talks about how there was a special miracle every day. The Kohen would light the candles every day, and there was one candle called the Ner Ma'aravi, the western candle. There's actually a machloket, a dispute, as to where exactly that candle was located, whether it was in the middle or on the side. But unlike the other candles, it would continue to burn all day long so that the Kohen could use it to rekindle the menorah the next time. In the morning, it would stay till the evening, and the evening it would stay lit till the morning. And let's take a look at source number two, in which the Gemara emphasizes how what a special miracle that was considered, the fact that that Ner Ma'aravi, that western candle, stayed lit a long time in order to enable the next time for the candles to be lit. עדותי לבאי עולם שהשכינה שורה בישראל. It was a testimony to all that the divine presence, the Shekhinah, was present among Bnei Israel. Then the Gemara asks, my edut, what exactly was this testimony? What exactly proved that Hashem's presence was in Beit HaMikdash? Amar Rav, זו נר מערבי, שנותן בה שמן כמידת חברותיה, וממנה היה מדליק ובה היה מסיים. Rav teaches us that that special western candle was a proof that Hashem's divine presence was in Beit HaMikdash, was within among Bnei Israel in his home. And the fact that the Maccabees relit the menorah, relit this light, was actually a symbol of the return of Hashem's divine presence to Beit HaMikdash. Although the Hashmonaim didn't have a real menorah, right, because according to the Book of Maccabees, the original one was taken away by Antiochus,
and they had to use a very interesting research, different opinions within the research, what exactly did they use as a menorah for when they were rekindling the candles after the Greeks had defiled them. So according to Megillat Ta'anit, which is a source from the Tana'im quoted in the Gemara, they lit with temporary menorah made out of metal until they can construct a new gold menorah with all of its complexities and design requirements. It would take a long time. It would have taken them a long time to rebuild. So they used these metal rods and they lit on that. Interestingly, Dr. Sperber mentions in his book about the Minhagim, he has a beautiful article which you can read afterwards. Many of the sources that I'm going to quote come from that article in his book about Minhagei Israel. A very interesting idea that I'd never heard before. The metal pieces that the Maccabees might have used to relight the candles were actually spears or weapons that they had used for the war, and they had converted them, turned them over, and used the top to light. So it's actually a very beautiful symbol, you know, similar to the Navi, who says, Yeshayahu v'chitetu chalvotam le'itim, v'chanotetahem le'mazmerot, right, lo yisago yagoy cherev, v'lo yamadu od milchama, that, right, they shall turn their swords into plowshares, right? So, they actually took these weapons and they transformed them into the most spiritual possible vessel to be able to light and rekindle the spiritual, a symbol of the spirituality and of the divine presence of Hashem. So the lighting, as we mentioned, the lighting of the candles by the Maccabees symbolized the renewal of the presence of Hashem's Shekhinah, Hashem's divine presence in Beit HaMikdash. And when Chazal instituted the lighting of Hanukkah candles in each and every home, they modeled the halachot of lighting according to and after the lighting of the menorah in Beit HaMikdash. In every single, very many, many details that we're familiar with from Hilchot Hanukkah actually come from this very important idea, which is not just, okay, random halachot, but it's all unified. All the details of halacha are unified under one heading, which is replicating this miracle. Replicating not only the miracle of the fact that the miraculous fact that the oil lasted 8 days, but also this the special miracle that happens in Beit HaMikdash every day of the menorah, proving that the Shekhinah was among Bnei Israel. So what I'd like to do is go through a couple of the halachot and demonstrate how each of these halachot of the lighting the Ner Chanukah are meant to bring us back to that original source, to that menorah in Beit HaMikdash, to the way that it was lit, to the ceremony that was done by the Kohen every day. So the minhag to say Hanerot Halalu, the paragraph that we say after we finish saying the brachot, or we're lighting the candles, what originates from the Tanaic source of Masechet Sofrim, which is not part of the Mishnah, but was written in the same time period. The particular way we phrase it, it was actually composed by Rabbi Meir Mirotenburg, Rabbi Meir of Rothenburg, one of the early Rishonim. Let's look at source number 3. We all know it by heart, probably, but just to pay attention to the words, we usually sing it, we don't always pay attention to what the words mean. Hanerot alalu anu madlikim. Sorry, I'm not singing it. We're just gonna, you know, visualize the song in our heads. Hanerot alalu anu madlikim al hanisim v'al hanifla'ot v'al hatshu'ot v'al hamilchamot she'asit la'avoteinu b'yamim ahem b'zman hazeh al yedei kohanecha hakdoshim. So the candles that we light are to commemorate the miracles, the wonders, the saving, the wars that you did for our fathers, performed for our fathers in those days in this time, through your holy Kohanim. V'chol shmonat yemei Chanukah elu, and this is the part that we're going to pay attention to the most, hanerot halalu kodeshem, ve'en anu rashut li'ishtemesh bahem, ela li'otam bilvad. The whole holiday of Hanukkah, all 8 days, these candles are holy, And we're not permitted to use them, to make use out of them. So there's an emphasis here on the holy status of Hanukkah candles. Kodeshim. This status implies that there are restrictions on usage of materials which have been used for lighting the Hanukkah candles and other restrictions we're going to see in a moment. So the paragraph that we say of Hanerot Halalu assumes that Hanukkah candles indeed have Kedusha. And this Kedusha is beyond the standard status of Kedusha which other mitzvot have. Right? Shabbat candles, for instance, they may and should be enjoyed after we light them as part of Oneg Shabbat. Not so Hanukkah candles. So it's interesting to explore and try to figure out why Hanukkah candles have extra Kedusha, have more holiness than other mitzvot, even other mitzvot which directly relate to the lighting of candles. In the Gemara Masechet Shabbat also, which is the source of almost all of the Hanukkah stories and laws, source number 4, there was actually a machloket, a dispute with regard to whether the candles are holy. The Hanukkah candles have a holy status. Source number 4, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav, Asur lehartzot ma'ot keneged ner Chanukah. So we're taught in the name of Rav that it's forbidden to count money using the illumination of the candles of Hanukkah. So I guess that was probably a pastime of people maybe counting their Hanukkah gelts. Maybe it was for business purposes. But that's an example of something you would need to be able to see the actual coin from close up. If it was dark, you would need to use the light of the candle in order to count your coins. Now, Rav doesn't say why he doesn't say exactly why you're not allowed to use the candles in order to count your coins, but we can understand from the next sentence, the response of Shmuel to what he says, that yes, the reason that Rav forbade using the candles for counting money was because of Kedusha. Ki amrita kamei b'Shmuel, amar li, v'chinel Kedusha yeshva. When this halacha that Rav said was brought before Shmuel, he said to him, "What does the candle of Hanukkah have holiness?" So he understood that that's what Rav's idea was. So Rav thinks that the candle of Hanukkah is holy, and Shmuel says, "No, that's not the reason. It's true that you're not allowed to count coins." And he ends up agreeing that you're not allowed to count the coins using the Hanukkah lights, but it says it's for a different reason. It's because it might be derogatory, can possibly show disrespect toward a mitzvah, but not necessarily because of the Kedusha and the holiness, inherent holiness in the actual candles. So, but for the purpose of the topic that we're examining, it's really fascinating that we can see that the Hanukkah candles are holy, holier than other mitzvah-related objects, and there could be only one explanation for this. The Hanukkah candles are a replica of the candles in Beit HaMikdash. And you can see in the next source, which is source number 5, Hame'ili, one of the early Rishonim of Provence, who is commenting on this Gemara that we just read. And he says, V'yesh ba'im ba b'tam isu hana'a u'kudusha gemua. There are those who say that the halachot of not using the Hanukkah candles are derived from a complete prohibition of deriving benefit, and this is actually considered real holiness, complete holiness, because they are commemorating the candles and the oil that were used in the Heichal, in Beit HaMikdash, in the menorah. And this view is accepted in the reciting of Hanerot Halalu as well. Right? We say that we may not derive benefit from the Hanukkah candles because the candles represent the light of the holy Beit HaMikdash. The Kedusha, as if the Kedusha of the menorah in our homes emanates directly from the Kedusha, from the light of the Nerot in Beit HaMikdash.
And I think it's just very nice to think about it when we say, it would be a good idea for me to say, when I'm saying Hane'ot Halalu, to hold that thought when I'm thinking, when I'm saying the words Hane'ot Halalu Kodeshem, just focus and think for a moment, why am I saying this, and how this connects me to a mitzvah that was done by so many years ago by the Kohen in Beit HaMikdash. Very interesting idea that I found in the Maharil, who was also one of the early Rishonim, extended the Kedusha even to the Shamash, the candle that we use, the Shamash, the one that we use for lighting the other candles, which usually we're accustomed to the fact that the whole idea that you use the Shamash is because it's not holy and you don't have any restrictions on using it. But this is very interesting. It's much more metaphorical. It says that, let's say, take a look at the Maharil himself. Yesh kedusha gdola gam ken banerot shel shamashim, asher hen yoter ktzat gdolim min haner shel chanuka. There's a special kedusha in the shamash because it is taller, it's usually higher up than the other candles of the Chanukiah. Shehaner shashamash hidugmat hakohen shehaya madlik nerot v'beit hamikdash. It's sort of reminiscent in a metaphorical way to the Kohen Gadol standing above the menorah. He used to climb up all the way up to light, to be able to light the menorah in Beit HaMikdash. So somehow the Shamash, even though halachically it doesn't have the status of Kedusha, the Maharil feels that it should somehow at least have a theory, an idea of Kedusha, because it's reminiscent of the Kohen standing above and lighting the Nevot. In the Gemara, in the same source, in Masechet Shabbat, we find the very famous machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Right? How many candles should we light each night? And Beit Shammai say we should start from 8 and go down to 1 the last night. And Beit Hillel say no, we should increase from 1 to 8. And that's obviously the halacha that we accept, and that's what we do. But the reasoning, one of the reasonings given for Hillel's opinion that it's more appropriate to add 1, then 2, then 3, as opposed to subtracting from the candles, is, as, and I quote, "Ma'alim b'kodesh ve'ein moridim." I didn't bring it down in the source sheets, but it says, "In matters of holiness, we ascend. We don't descend when it comes to matters of holiness." And one moment. And so this is also the place where Beit Hillel take, where the Gemara gets the idea, Hama'alim b'kodesh ve'ein moridim, is actually from the korbanot. It comes from the worship, the different korbanot, different sacrifices that were brought in Beit HaMikdash, and other vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. So the whole concept of adding and ascending in holiness is a phrase that's taken directly from the service of Hashem in Beit HaMikdash. So we can see also in that idea, in the explanation of how Beit Hillel explains their opinion, that they were thinking about Beit HaMikdash and what would be more appropriate to symbolize what was done in Beit HaMikdash. Yes, I'll take a question or two right now, and then we'll go on. Yes. Not anymore. Yes. Correct. It has to do with the kelim of Beit HaMikdash and the manufacture of them. I'd be happy to point out the source to you afterwards. Yes. I'm sorry? Oh, the question was exactly which laws was the phrase "Ma'alim b'kodesh ve'ein moridim" learns from. The in matters of holiness we ascend. Yes. Yeah. Yes. All candles, all 7 candles were lit every night in Beit HaMikdash, every day and every night. And actually we're going to get to that. It's interesting. I was originally, when I was thinking of a title for this year, it was a little bit difficult to get something that sounded exciting and also encapsulated the idea. One of my friends suggested from 7 to 8, because theoretically, right, the menorah in Beit HaMikdash had 7 branches. So
So then why in Hanukkah do we light eight? If really we're supposed to be replicating the menorah, then how does that work if we're lighting more than what they actually lit in the menorah? I'm going to actually offer an answer to that. I could do it now. Sorry? Very good question. I don't know the answer, but it's a very good question. I think because Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai found more meaning in commemorating the night of, in giving special importance to each of the nights and making them unique, as opposed to doing the same thing, same old thing, all of 8 days, but I'm sure there are additional answers that can be offered for that. I'm just going to have to go on, but hopefully at the end there'll be some more time for questions. So in addition to the halachot, which attribute temple-like qualities to the candles, there are several more laws which illustrate the Chanukiah as a model of the Mikdash. And one of them is the bracha that's recited. The main bracha that we say, the source of which is also in Masechet Shabbat, of Lehadlik Nel Shel Chanukah. So the Ravid, Ravad, also one of the early Rishonim, explains why the bracha for Hanukkah candles is Lehadlik Ner Shel Chanukah as opposed to Al Ner Chanukah. It's very interesting if you see throughout the halachot of brachot in the Gemara that the very great importance is attached by Chazal to the act phrasing of the bracha. These words were not just made up, they were really thought of very, very carefully, exactly how we were going to phrase it, which one was more appropriate, al something or a le something. Very, very intricate, and the din is that you're not allowed to change any of the brachot that Chazal instituted. So they were thinking, I guess, long term, which bracha would be most appropriate. The Ravid actually asks, he has a kushiya on what the Gemara says. It says that we should say on Hanukkah candles, we should say lehadlik nel shel Hanukkah, to kindle the lights of Hanukkah. And this is in source 7. Katav ha-ra'avad zal, kashya li nel Hanukkah. So he has a difficulty with the bracha of the lighting of Hanukkah. This is in Hilchot Brachot, so we know the context is referring to Brachot. Ve'ulai mipnei she'ein la kitzva. She'hamehadrin mosifin v'chein hamehadrin min hamehadrin yoter. So the reason that he's asking this question, before I explain what I just read, is usually the Brachot the mitzvot which were instituted by the rabbis, mitzvot mi derabanan, usually the bracha is al, as opposed to le. Examples, you have al mikra megillah, al tilat yadayim. So you could think of other examples that are the opposite, but in general, that's exactly what I was thinking. So there are exceptions, but the Ravid is trying to explore the idea that Lehadlik Ner Shel Chanukah is different than some of the brachot for other mitzvot that are derabanan. Oh, sorry, Ner Shabbat is a possibility that it's deoraita. Maybe that's why. So there is a possibility that that it's part of Kavod Shabbat, and that Kavod Shabbat is deoraita. So it's a possibility that that one is not an exception either. But either way, it's different from, for instance, Al Netilat Yadayim and Al Mikam Megillah, for instance. Instituted midrabanan and not from the Torah. So he gives one possibility. Maybe an answer is because it's a mitzvah that's sort of in la kitzvah. There's no specific number. There's no specific amount because you can add on as many candles as you want, and each family member can light candles. So it's an unusual mitzvah. But that answer is not super strong. I think really what the Rav is getting to is the second answer. Second answer is connected to our topic. Inami mipnei shezu habracha hukpea al hanerot shebamikdash shehem shel Torah lefichach asahuhu keshel Torah. So possibly the reason might be the fact that it's a different bracha and it's more similar to brachot that are from the Torah is because this bracha of hadlakat ner Chanukah was instituted as a commemoration of the candles in Beit HaMikdash, and the lighting of the candles in the Mikdash was in HaTorah, Parshat V'Halotcha, the mitzvah of lighting candles. And that was indeed the bracha that was said in Beit HaMikdash when the Kohen was lighting, Lehadlik. I don't know exactly what he said. It probably Lehadlik et HaMenorah, Lehadlik et HaNeirot. I wasn't able to actually find the wording, but it was Lehadlik was the appropriate bracha. So again, we can see that the idea of commemorating and extending the light of the and the idea and the in action and in symbolism the candles of the menorah. I'll take some. Okay, yes, I'll take another question or two. Yes. Yes. So are you asking what did they do? What did they do the year afterwards, or what did they do right away? Well, it says in the Gemara. Okay, the question is, what did the Maccabees or the Jewish people do to commemorate Hanukkah after the event? The Gemara says, "L'shana acheret asa'um yamin tovim." It says that it's not very clear exactly how to translate it, but what it probably means is the next year, the following year, the rabbis decided that these days are going to be celebrated. So the year it started a year later, apparently. When did the custom of starting from one candle to eight candles begin? That's a good question. Probably Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, because until then, the mitzvah was to light one candle. They had a minimal. There was a minimal mitzvah. It says Ne'el Ishu Beito. You only had to light one candle, and that was just a very symbolic commemoration. Later on, it developed into a much more intricate, in terms of how many you light and adding for each member of the family, etc. Yeah. Yes, excellent question. I don't know if there was actually a Chanukiah in Beit HaMikdash. I think the menorah, like you said, the menorah, they would continue to kindle the menorah. Once they had a real menorah, they used the real menorah to kindle. But this commemoration was only instituted in the homes to be done by each person, by each home. And interesting, very interesting, I don't know actually exactly when it started, if it was a year later, if it was only when Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. I assume that it was a year later. Another halakha, which can show us also and symbolize Beit HaMikdash and the menorah, is the machloket in the Gemara regard to hadlaka o hanacha. There's an intricate discussion in the Gemara of whether the main mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is to light the candles, to kindle the candles, or to place them in the place which will publicize the miracle, Pirsumei Nisa. So the thought is that possibly the placement of the candles in a place where somebody will actually be able to see them and it might be even more important than the actual lighting. And the practical difference would be what happens if my candles go out. If wind comes and blows them out, do I have to relight it again or not? If the mitzvah is lighting it, then I fulfilled my obligation already, and I don't need to relight it. But if the fulfillment is the actual placement of the candles being visible for a certain amount of time in order to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah, then I might need to relight the candles. So the Gemara, so theoretically the placement of the candles should be more important because of Pirsumei Nisa, right? We all know that the publicizing of the miracle of Hanukkah takes precedence over other principles. Even though in Masechet Shabbat it says that if you have the choice of lighting Shabbat candles or Hanukkah candles, preferable to light Shabbat candles because Shalom Bayit Adif. More important to have the idea of the peace in the home than to have Pirsumei Nisa, but there's no conflicting value, Pirsu Meinisa, the publicizing of the miracles, is a very important principle on Hanukkah. But the Gemara rules the other way. And it says, no, the mitzvah is the kindling. The lighting itself is what is important. And as a result, the halacha is that if your candles go out, you don't need to relight them. And Rashi explains why that is. Why did the Gemara rule that the main part of the mitzvah is the lighting? Source number 8. Ihadaka usa mitzvah. Iha mitzvah shel Chanukah tluya behadlaka madlikim kedeashkechan v'menorah. So if the mitzvah, he's commenting on the words, whether the candle, whether the kindling is what fulfills the mitzvah. If the mitzvah of Chanukah is dependent on the light, on the lighting, you should light it, as we find in the menorah. So because with the menorah in Beit HaMikdash, the mitzvah was the kindling, there was no concept of placing it anywhere for the publicizing of any kind of miracle, even though there was a miracle, right? We talked about the Ner Ma'aravi, the Western candle, but the menorah was a permanent fixture. It wasn't something that was moved or placed anywhere. And therefore, according to Rashi, it might be argued that since the Chanukah lighting ceremony is meant to replicate the Mikdash experience, the main element should be what both of the lightings have in common, which is the actual lighting. An additional idea, an additional halakha, which comes up, which is also related, I think, is I actually saw an article by Moshe Carrigan in his article on the VBM Beit Midrash. He says that the menorah of the Mikdash had a dual purpose. One was to enable the lighting ceremony, and the other was adorning the house of Hashem with a beautiful instrument, a beautiful vessel. So, and Jews throughout the ages have made their Chanukiyot as beautiful as possible. We see silver Chanukiyot, we see Chanukiyot shaped like the Kotel, and you can see, it's actually very interesting, in Dr. Sperber's book about the Minhagim, he has an article by someone named Dr. Bracha Yaniv, who is an art historian, as far as I understand, from her article. And she basically goes through the Chanukiyot, the development of Chanukiyot throughout the generations, and shows, you know, the different ways they were beautified, and the idea of whether it should be similar to the Chanukah and Beit HaMikdash, to the menorah and Beit HaMikdash or not. There were, some of them were modeled similarly to the menorah of the Mikdash. However, there were those who actually shied away from modeling their Chanukiyot according to the menorah of Beit HaMikdash because of that exact idea that we're talking about, the holiness. There's actually an Avera, you're not allowed to replicate the Kelim of Beit HaMikdash. You're not allowed to, no one is allowed to make a menorah exactly according to the model that there was in Beit HaMikdash. I'm not exactly sure what Machon HaMikdash, what the do when they make beautiful vessels. They actually just made it seats, which is the crown of the Kohen Gadol, if anyone saw that this week. But either way, you're not allowed to do the same thing because it's reserved. That specific design is patented. It's reserved only for Beit HaMikdash usage. Actually, Rav Kook, very interestingly, this is also quoted in Sperber's article. This is what I promised you before, from 7 to 8. How did it go from 7 to, instead of 7, to go to 8? Because of the 8 days, but also, Rav Kook says that the reason that they instituted lighting candles for 8 days was so that they wouldn't have an avera on this prohibition of making a menorah with 7 candles outside Beit HaMikdash. So if you actually look in different shuls, you can see that the menorahs that they have sometimes will be decorative. They won't exactly make it. This is just a embroidery, but if you see there's one of these sculptures, then you'll see that many of them are not exactly the shape of the Beit HaMikdash menorah, in order to make sure to reserve that holy design only for Beit HaMikdash. So in any case, according to this idea, the beautifying of the Chanukiah is also possible, that it's a sort of an extension of the idea of beautifying Beit HaMikdash. Zeh eliva anvehu, that Hashem is our God and we should try to make our mitzvot beautiful. Lighting in shul is another halacha which is very clearly connected to the idea of the Shekhinah in Beit HaMikdash, the lighting in Beit HaMikdash. Although there's no halachic obligation to light in shul, it became an established custom to do so. And Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, in his book HaMo'adim B'Halacha, Festivals in Halacha, quotes an early compilation of the Minhagim, it's called Sefer HaManhi by Rabbi Moshe Milunil. Take a look at this one, source number 9, talking about why it became a minhag to light the candles in shul, even though people afterwards go and light in their own homes, and that's really what counts as their mitzvah. Nahagu al kach al ze shehanes ba b'mikdash beit olamim ve'osim k'mochen ve'mikdash me'at b'gola le'pirsum hanes shekulam mitkabtzim sham. So the minhag was because the miracle happens in Beit HaMikdash, and that's why you do the same thing in the Mikdash Me'at, in the small temple, the minor temple, which is what Beit HaMikdash is called, the shul is termed. L'pilsum haneh shikulam mitkabtzim sham, and it's also obviously the best place for publicizing the miracle of Hanukkah because so many people come to the shul. The question about the appropriate location of the Hanukkah lights in shul is also connected to the dispute regarding the placement of the menorah in Beit HaMikdash. Whether they should be, the candles, there's a machloket, whether the candles should be lit from north to south or from east to west. And different shuls have different minhagim, following the different opinions in the Gemara as to the placement and the order of lighting in Beit HaMikdash. And last but not least, the oil, right? The oil that was used in Beit HaMikdash was the Shemen Zayit, right? We can see this in source number 10, Amara bi Yoshua ben Levi, Sefer Shabbat. Kol ha-shmanim kulan yafin lanel, v'shemen zayit min ha-mukhar. All the oils can be used for Hanukkah lights, excepting a few according to certain other opinions, but the best is olive oil. And the reason being, number one, because it's supposed to be the best, most best quality, but it's also very possibly meant to replicate what was done in Beit HaMikdash. Even though it's not a requirement, it's considered more special thing. So in sum, we've seen how the details of Hilchot Hadlakat Nerot are modeled after the lighting in the Mikdash, and our homes and shuls are filled with light, which has a spiritual power to connect us to Beit HaMikdash. There's a famous and beautiful Ramban at the beginning of Parshat Halotcha in Bamidbar regarding the mitzvah Hashem commands Aaron and his sons to, Aaron the Kohen and later on his sons, to light the menorah. Just a background for what the Ramban, the part of the Ramban that I brought here in the last source. The Midrash alludes to the Smichut Parshiot, the juxtaposition of the Parshiot at the end of Parshat Naso. Talks about the karbanot, the special offerings, karbanot and matanot and gifts that were brought by the Nesi'im, each of the heads of the tribes for Hanukkah Beit HaMishkan. They all brought special, karbanot. It's very, when you read it in the Torah, it's like very monotonous. You read each one, it's exactly the same offering that they brought. It tells you how many, bowls of silver, bowls of gold, and how many animals they brought. And then, right afterwards, in the next parsha, Parsha Balotcha, the Kumash starts talking about the mitzvah, the commandment to Aaron to light to kindle the menorah in the Mishkan. And the Midrash alludes to this Michu Parshiot, this juxtaposition of the prince's inauguration of the Mishkan to Aaron. Aaron didn't participate in this beautiful ceremony because it was reserved for the heads of the other tribes. And it says in the Midrash, and brought down by Rashi, that Hashem comforted him by giving him the mitzvah of lighting the candles. The Ramban asks, why is that so comforting? If Aaron wanted to be involved in the inauguration, the Hanukkah of the Mishkan, then the menorah seems like an unrelated consolation prize. Why is that specifically considered a consolation? Why is that considered a comfort or a good, something that's supposed to make him feel better about it? Let's read the beginning of this Ramban. Oh, actually, I didn't bring the entire Ramban here. But the Ramban understands that the Midrash is alluding to something deeper. Aaron's reward will be part of another Chanukah bait, one which would occur many, many years later. I'm going to read in the Rambam. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Daber el Aaron ve'amarta elav. יש חנוכה אחרת שיש בה הדלקת הנרות, ואני עושה בה לישראל על ידי בניך ניסים ותשועה בחנוכה שקרויה על שמם, והיא חנוכת בית חשמונאי. לפיכך יסמיך פרשה זו לפרשת חנוכת המזבח. עד כאן לשונה. So there's another, this is quoting the ends of the Midrash, there is another Hanukkah which is going to have kindling of the lights, and I am going to show the Jewish people through your children miracles and salvation and Hanukkah rededication, which will be called according to their name, and that is the Hanukkah of the Chashmonaim, right? The Chashmonaim, the Maccabim, who were Kohanim from the tribe of Levi, descendants of Aaron. And let's continue in the Ramban. וראיתי עוד בילמדנו, וכן במדרש רבה, אמר לו הקדוש ברוך הוא למשה, לך אמור לאהרון, אל תתיירק, לגדולה מזאת אתה מוכן. הקורבנות, כל זמן שבית המקדש קיים, הם נוהגים, אבל הנרות לעולם אל מול פני המנורה יאירו. וכל הברכות שנתתי לך לברך So, not only is this a consolation, it's not just a consolation prize that Aaron gets to light the candles, but all of the beautiful offerings and vessels of gold that the Nisiim, that the princes of the different tribes are bringing for the Mishkan, and will later on possibly be part of the Beit HaMikdash or be replicated for Beit HaMikdash, those are going to, unfortunately, disappear. There's going to be destruction, there's going to be galut. We won't have those vessels anymore, we won't have korbanot anymore. But what is always going to continue, what is always going to go on forever, the light of the menorah. And how is that possible? והנה דבר ידוע, כשאין בית המקדש קיים, והקורבנות בטלים, פני חורבנו, אף הנרות בטלות. The Ramban is asking the obvious question. But we know that obviously when there's no Beit HaMikdash, then there's also no menorah anymore. There's no mitzvah anymore of the Kohen going to light the nerot of the menorah. אבל לא רמזו אלא לנרות חנוכת חשמונאי שהיא נוהגת אף לאחר החורבן בגלותינו. Ramban says, no, the Midrash is actually alluding to the candles which were lit by the Chashmonaim, which were lit by the descendants of Aaron, which continues, the mitzvah of lighting of the menorah continues even today in the Galut, in the diaspora, after the Korban of Beit HaMikdash, and that is lighting of the Chanukah, Neirot Chanukah, in each and every home. So the holiness of the menorah and the Mikdash lives on through the Chanukah lights, even in our exile, and they're a beacon of hope that someday we will return to Beit HaMikdash, light the menorah once again. It'll again become a symbol of the Shechina Shel Rabbi Yisrael, of Hashem's presence being among B'nai Yisrael.